giddy up, giddy up, let's go. Let's look at the show. We're riding in Wonderland of snow. Giddy up, giddy
okay,
up,
maybe we're not.
Just holding your hand.
But at least it makes us feel a little cooler, maybe.
Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy and cozy, are we?
Except for the sweat.
We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather should be.
There is less snuggling going on this Christmas season than maybe in all others combined, unless you live in Southern California or Arizona. So now you know how it is for Christmas in Phoenix, I guess. I don't know. Hey, friends, a little Natalie Cole to start things off on this Christmas weekend edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network. As we recorded this, this is about 20 minutes after 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve night. And the current state of your family, I hope everybody is home and dry. I don't have to say warm and dry, dry this year, but the emphasis this year on the dry. Man, not once, but twice yesterday, Wednesday, down at the Siegel Center. You know, it's one thing if you're in the shopping mall or if you're in Target or if you're in your house and suddenly there's a downpour outside and you can hear the downpour, you know, it's like suddenly you hear it on the roof and up against the windows. And it's another thing to be sitting courtside at the Siegel Center with fans cheering and the whistles and the horns blowing for substitutions and timeouts and music playing over the loudspeakers and announcements being made. And then all of a sudden, and it happened twice on Wednesday, you heard this. And it was on the roof of the Siegel Center. And I thought, that's rain. That's got to be rain. Holy cow. Can you? And so many people have said to me personally and have also saw a mention about it on Twitter. Imagine if it was 29 degrees outside and all of this was snow. We would have had a white Christmas for the ages. It would have been a once in a generation white Christmas. But instead, I think we hit a record high temperature today. I went through a thunderstorm trying to get out of the grocery store and do my last minute things. But happy to report here at the Casa de Witham world headquarters for the RVA Sports Network that I'm home. My wife is home. My son is working, but he'll be home soon for Christmas morning. And my daughter is working as well. I got to go pick her up. Yeah, the joys of sharing a car. Got to go pick her up, but that'll soon be done, and we're going to relax and enjoy a Charlie Brown Christmas before we say goodnight. And don't have the little ones pitter-pattering around here anymore, so, you know, we don't have to worry about having to be up at, you know, 7 a.m. because somebody's really, really antsy about opening presents. So we'll all get some sleep, get up, enjoy Christmas together, because that is what it's all about anyway. Not about what's under the tree and how much is under the tree and what you get. It's that you're with the people that you love and you are blessed. That's the message I send to you this Christmas season. Well, hope you have a great weekend. For those of you who are home from college, and I got to see several of my friends that I have covered in past years who have now graduated and move on to their collegiate endeavors, either athletically, academically, or both. And saw some at the Siegel Center on Wednesday, saw some at Clover Hill on Tuesday. I got a chance to say hey to Taja Cole in from Louisville for a few days. She's got to get back over the weekend. Of course, they're getting ready for ACC play. Ariel Stevenson from Prince George, now with Wake Forest, was at the Siegel Center yesterday. Had to go over and say hey to her. And I just saw a whole bunch of great people. And it's one of the fun things about the holiday season is that you get to see people who have moved on and see how they're doing and what they're doing. And it's so much fun. It really, really is. Well, we had a wild last 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the first of two Monday through Wednesday stretches, just completely filled with basketball action. This week was the precursor for next week, because this week we had two tournaments. And next week, actually starting over the weekend, we've got the Benedictine Capital City Classic, Henrico Holiday Hoops. Of course, we'll be there for that on Monday and again on Wednesday. The Southerner Classic at Lee Davis will be there on Tuesday. LC Bird's annual Holiday Hoops, Clover Hill's Holiday Hoops, Douglas Freeman's second annual Holiday Hoops Bash. The Tri-Cities Holiday Classic starts at Prince George on Saturday afternoon. That's what kicks everything off. Hanover has a new girls tournament, the Battle in the Birdcage, on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then we've got teams going out of town to play in tournaments as well. Mills Godwin's boys are back again in the Glory Days Grill Tournament up at Lake Braddock in Burke, Virginia. And that starts Saturday night. Once LC Bird has completed their Holiday Hoops Classic, which again is not a tournament with a bracket and a champion, it's a classic where all the teams that are invited get to play two games in 2 days. They're going to take off for Hampton and be in the crossover tournament at the Hampton Coliseum, sponsored by Allen Iverson. They're going to play Hampton on Wednesday at 5:30. The Henrico girls are on their way to Hampton for the Boo Williams tournament. Remember, they won their division last year. They're going to play in the Silver Division this year, and they start off against St. Anne's Belfield on Monday afternoon. The Midlothian girls are headed to Boo Williams. They're going to play Phoebus in the White Division starting Monday at 6 p.m. in the first round of that tournament. And so we've got, holy cow, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 tournaments here in the area, and then teams from the area playing in other tournaments as well. So it's going to be crazy. But before we look ahead to that, let's take a little time and look back to what we've just enjoyed the last 3 days. Kind of under the radar because it was scheduled up against the TDIT, and it kind of got put together on relatively short notice, only several weeks, where this germinated from an idea to a reality. But congratulations to Coach McCaig and to Athletic Director John Robinson and all the gang over at Glen Allen High School for a successful first Jaguar Jamboree Boys Tournament where we were able to go down there on Monday. We really, the last 2 weeks, I've been like, what are we going to do Monday night? Because, of course, the Times-Dispatch Tournament started at four different places. And then, you know, I got the information about Jaguar Jamboree, and I'm like, holy cow. Okay, so you got four games going on at Glen Allen, and you've got two big games going on at four different locations for the TDIT. What do we do? And I made the final decision that we did have one of our reporters available that night, and kudos and a big thank you to Preston Hauser. He made himself available to get over to Monacan to watch the first round TDIT games there. And so we decided, you know what, since we know we're going to be at the Times-Dispatch Tuesday and Wednesday, let's hang our hat over at Glen Allen on Monday. And I'm glad we did because we saw some good action. We saw some good young teams. Hermitage ends up winning the tournament. They beat Verina by 9. That ended up being their closest game of the tournament. And that was the first game of the tournament back on Monday afternoon. And then Hermitage got a big win, bigger than I expected, over Atlee Tuesday night in the semifinals. And then they pulled away from Thomas Jefferson in the second half Wednesday night to win the championship. And Rob Rice, who came over from Lee Davis to take over at Hermitage this year, now has a team that quietly has gone to 8-2. They've won 8 out of 9 games, and they're in a position, and they have the talent to where if they continue to improve and continue to buy into Coach Rice's system, certainly they could have a winning season, and they could be a problem for someone Conference 11 tournament, let's say, when we get to semifinal round. Usually Conference 11 only puts the top 6 out of the 8 teams into the tournament, and then you've got play-in games, top 2 seeds move on. Of course, kind of everybody's penciled in Henrico and Deep Run to be the top 2 seeds in Conference 11. And unless we see some upsets along the way, that may be the case. But, you know, a Hermitage is a 3. They survive against the 6th seed and move on to have to, you know, play, say, Deep Run or Henrico in the, you know, the 2-3 game. Could be a very intriguing matchup. And, of course, Hermitage Deep Run is going to find each other here before, you know, during the Colonial District season. Hermitage still has to deal with Mills Godwin. It's going to be interesting, but they're off to a very good start at 8-2. And now they take a break and get ready for action in January. But Hermitage, congratulations to them getting the Jaguar Jamboree Championship, beating Verina, Atlee, and TJ to get the championship. TJ, nice week as well. Beat Caroline in the first round in a defensive struggle Tuesday night. They beat the host Glen Allen Jaguars. And, of course, those two teams now will face each other regular season-wise because Glen Allen's moved to the Colonial District. So, you know, 2-1, a good showing for Coach Kendrick Warren and the Vikings this week. And I think some good experience they picked up, especially playing against teams like Glen Allen and Hermitage that will benefit them down the road, and especially if they want to make noise come their own conference tournament time in mid-February. And, of course, we all know what a gauntlet that conference is, as we watched a couple of their teams at the Times-Dispatch tournament the last couple of days. Attlee, I know they're not happy about the loss to Hermitage. No one would be happy by losing by 23 points, but they got a great win over Midlothian on Monday to start the tournament, and they got an even better win, in my estimation, against the host Jaguars in the third place game Wednesday night, winning 75-56. So good work for the Raiders, as they will now take a break and get ready for January play in the tough Capital District. They've already had one match with Highland Springs. They fell at home. They didn't have R.J. Jenkins that night. They'll have him when they go to Highland Springs later in the season. Certainly, Attlee has talent. They don't have much size. They had some size last year. They don't have size this year. With the exception of Hanover, with Dabney and Wade, their duo of scoring, nobody in the county of Hanover has any real size to say, Patrick Henry doesn't have much size. Lee Davis doesn't have a lot of size. They have some, but the experience with the size is still under construction. And Attlee doesn't have a whole lot of size either, especially compared to last year. So, you know, you work with what you have and you try to do things in different ways. And we've seen before how players who don't have a whole lot of size can take over games, take over tournament runs. So Attlee with a pretty good showing in the Jaguar Jamboree. And I think one other team out of the Jamboree that we have to make mention of is Verina, because even though they lost in round one, it sent them into the consolation bracket. They had Midlothian and then they had Powhatan, and they beat Midlothian, struggled offensively in that game in the semis Tuesday. But in the fifth place game Wednesday, they put up 78 on Powhatan. Very good win for them, and Verina knows the gauntlet they're entering when it comes to the Conference 12 tournament in February, and in the same conference now with Highland Springs, who is not who they were last year. Now, they lost a lot, and they're still learning and growing and still actually getting a couple of players back from the state championship football team. The team really hasn't been together completely, and from what I understand, it's still not complete. So you don't know, the Highland Springs we're seeing now may not be the Highland Springs we see in the middle of February. You know, it's possible. I was talking to somebody at Siegel last night that it's possible that this Highland Springs team could have a better tournament run this year than the Highland Springs team that was much more talented and much more senior laden last year. And they got knocked out first round in that at the moment we thought was an upset from Deep Run, and then we saw what damage Deep Run did later on in conference and region tournament play, putting a scare into so many different teams. So yeah, I think Verina should be applauded for the work that they did. This is going to help them as they have to run that Capital District, which will also battle test them and get them ready when they've got to face Byrd, Metoaka, Meadowbrook, etc. in Conference 12 in the middle of the month of February, which will be here before we know it. Now let's turn our attention over to the Times-Dispatch Invitational Tournament, wrapped up Wednesday night at the Siegel Center. We'll talk boys first, then we'll talk girls. Very interesting tournament. Very interesting group of teams. And got to see several teams that I had not seen yet this season twice. Once on Tuesday in the semis at Clover Hill, and then again on Wednesday as we saw all 8 games. I try not to take my right hand and put it above my left shoulder and go pat, pat, pat. But I will say this. I was very proud of the fact that we here at the RVA Sports Network covered all 8 games from the Siegel Center on Wednesday, because all 16 teams we felt deserved coverage. And so we were happy to be there. Boy, it didn't take me long to fall asleep Wednesday night after I got home. It was a very long day. But it was a good day of basketball, some very interesting storylines developing. And before we talk that, got to give a shout out to Eric Kalinich and the staff at the Times-Dispatch for, again, allowing us, you know, it's their tournament. And for allowing us to be able to go and to cover the tournament on Twitter and online, we appreciate it. We do. We appreciate the opportunity to do it. We don't take it for granted. We don't take it lightly. Their invitation is greatly appreciated, and we thank them very much. And if you don't follow 804 Varsity yet on Twitter, you really need to. 804 Varsity, they're able to get, and this is because of the vast, you know, longevity of the history of the Times-Dispatch in the area. I mean, my gosh, Civil War. Now, our company's been around 3 years. Their company's been around 150 years. So, you know, there's gravitas with that. And so they're able to get some stories that we are not able to do. We readily will admit that. So I think a good follow for you on Twitter is 804 Varsity. And you should, if you don't already, and if you want to get high school sports news in the area, I would do so. I would most definitely do so. So a shout out to the TD for the great work that they did over that three-day period. Now to the basketball. Over on the girls' side, things that impressed me. Obviously, number one, Highland Springs. Highland Springs comes in. They have a big lead on Cosby in the semis. Jocelyn Jones turns it on late and simply ran out of time. If she'd have started that run about a minute and a half later, you know, she scored 10 points in the last, 88 seconds of that game. That was just an amazing performance by Jocelyn. But they fell 3 points short, 52-49. And it's like that with Cosby. Who beats Cosby by 25? Nobody. You know, the toughest loss I've seen Cosby have in their two-plus year run as state champions was their game against Monacan that we had here last season on the RVA Sports Network. And frankly, that loss was a positive for them, I believe, because I believe it helped them get ready for the tournament run that they had in 6A. And frankly, I think that what happened to both Cosby and to Monacan this week will end up being positives for them. I know they both wanted to win the tournament. I know for Cosby, it's a disappointment because they got upset in the semis last year to Glen Allen and had to play in the third place game. But we all saw what happened. Cosby ended up back at Siegel in March, and they won the state championship for the second year in a row. And this crew does have the material to do it again. It's not a given, and it will be a gauntlet. I believe that this week's tournament on the girls' side proved that for the three big teams in the area, Cosby, Monacan, and Highland Springs, all in different classifications, Cosby 6A, Highland Springs 5A, Monacan 4A defending state champs, that nothing is going to come easy. They are going to have to work for whatever they accomplish. And so for the negative turn into a positive, I think Cosby and Monacan are going to learn huge from this week, and it's going to benefit them, and I will not be surprised to see them both back at Siegel in March. Highland Springs, I will not be surprised to see them in Siegel at March, but I also believe that this tournament win is very good for them, very good for their confidence. And now their number one task, I believe, is to build on what they've done, not to look at it as an end, but to a means to an end. And I think my friends over at the coaching staff at Highland Springs are going to make sure that that happens, because they all still remember all too well falling a step short of the state tournament last year. And yes, they're very thrilled. And I talked to them last night. They're very thrilled about going back-to-back at the TDIT, but there is bigger fish to fry later down the road. And the other thing, observation from girls basketball, is that I think it's very clear that we have a big three in the area, in the aforementioned Chiefs, Titans, and Springers. And then I believe just behind them is LC Bird, and then I think after that is everybody else. You know, the J.R. Tuckers, the Henricos, the Huguenots, Glen Allen, et cetera, et cetera. St. Catharines. St. Catharines entered our top 10 poll this week in time for the tournament, and they ended up winning the fifth place game over J.R. Tucker. And so St. Catharines had a nice run. They lost in the first round, but they get two wins. They get the win at Siegel against Tucker the day before. They got the win by three over Glen Allen in the consolation semis at Clover Hill. And in the loss, it was just a two-point loss to Huguenot. So I think after the big three, the team that was most impressive in the tournament, St. Catharines. The player that I thought was most impressive outside of the big three, you know, we knew we were going to see big things from Jones and Whitehead at Cosby and Megan Walker and Alex Parson and, you know, Jasmine Norman and Jaden Morris Monacan. Okay, we knew we were going to see Cam Gatling, Jennifer Coleman, CC Crudup, et cetera, Highland Springs. That's all, you know, relatively known. What we did not expect coming, the most impressive performance that I saw outside of the big three schools, was Nikki R. Jackson of Huguenot. Now, they got the win over St. Catharines Monday night. And yes, they lost big to Monacan in the semifinals. Monacan pulled away, but Jackson had a great game. And then she turned around and had as good, if not better, performance, even though Huguenot again lost big time to Cosby in the semifinals. I looked at the individual play, and for people who thought that Huguenot was a one-girl team, and that would be Taya Robinson, they are more than that. They are definitely more than that. And Huguenot, in 3A, with Jackson's further development and the work of several other players on that team, they've got the pieces to where in 3A, Huguenot can make a run. They really, really, really could. And so we could be talking four girls teams at Siegel come March. But there's a long way to go, obviously, and no tickets get punched in December. But Jackson made the all-tournament team. I voted for her on the all-tournament team, and I was thrilled that she made it, because even though her team ran into two buzzsaws in Monahan and then in Cosby the day after Cosby lost, then she played extremely well, and I'm very glad that she got the recognition that she rightfully deserves. So, girls basketball, there's definitely a hierarchy right now, a first level and a second level. But let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of great action over the next 80 days. Over on the boys' side, what can you say? We had already seen the dynamic duo of Nick Sherrod and Alex Petrie when they won the Rebel Invitational 3 weeks ago over at Douglas Freeman. And we knew that they could put on a show. We knew they could hit bombs from 28 feet. Just didn't expect them to try to do it all in the first 4 minutes of the championship game Wednesday night. You know, Sherrod's first shot from 30 feet, no problem. Then Petrie jacks up three straight long distance, and suddenly he's got 9 points, and they built a lead that Deep Run could never completely get rid of. And Deep Run had to play from behind all night long. And then the other thing that impressed me was the work of Sherrod in terms of being smart enough to understand, hey, it's my responsibility here to put Deep Run's big men in foul trouble. So I'm going to drive to the hoop, and I'm going to work on Oliver, and I'm going to work on Clark, two fantastic interior players. Oliver's going to go to Campbell University next year. But, you know, soon enough, we saw, you know, Oliver's got three, Clark's got three, and it changed the dynamic of the game, because certainly if they weren't handling Sherrod, there wasn't anybody on the Deep Run bench that was going to handle Sherrod. So very impressed with Nick's understanding of the nuance of, okay, it's my job to create this havoc for the other team. And then, you know, Nick spent the, I almost said Edmund, dating myself, Nick spent the entire second half scoring at the free throw line. And that works perfectly fine. If that's how you get your points and you make the other team get in foul trouble, then all the better for it. But St. Christopher's unbelievably impressive this week. The 15-point win over George Wythe to start. Then they pick up the win over Benedictine on Tuesday night to get to the championship. And then they win by 8, and they were up double digits a good part of the game over a very, very good Deep Run team. And Deep Run, I was with them as I was getting ready to walk out of the Siegel Center as they were walking out, and they were extremely disappointed. And I understand. But Deep Run, hold your heads up high. You have a lot of basketball to play and a long way to go. And St. Christopher's is a team that you will learn from in terms of your own performance and what you need to do. I think it'll help them with their January 13th battle against Henrico that we'll have here on the RBA Sports Network. And I think it'll help them when they get to the postseason and possibly a second, maybe even a third shot at Henrico, depending upon how things shake out conference and region tournament wise. And Georgie Pacheco, if you've not seen Deep Run play, worth the price of admission just for Georgie. To watch him work at the point, to watch his long-range shooting, to watch his ability to stop on a dime and put up a jumper from 12, 14, 15 feet, fantastic player. But Deep Run is deeper than they were last year. And, you know, Pacheco is taller and stronger, and Oliver is taller and stronger, and Clark is stronger, and, you know, Cooper's in the mix now, and Donovan is in the mix, and they're a very good team, and they deserve to be in the championship game on Wednesday night. Other things that we saw from the tournament, Jeremy Carter-Shepherd just keeps getting better, and Central Florida is getting a good one. Same thing with Malik White, although George Wythe didn't do as well as I'm sure they wanted to do in the tournament. Falling in the first round and then having to go through the consolation bracket, but they beat Highland Springs, and then they beat Millwood when they were down to Millwood most of the afternoon in that fifth-place game. Good job by the Bulldogs. So very great tournament, lots of fun, 16 good teams. Really enjoyed being able to cover semifinal Tuesday and championship Wednesday and semifinal Tuesday. Thanks to Preston Hauser again, we were able to take in 4 games, and including the girls' semis, and then Preston took you through on Twitter on Tuesday night, which allowed me to go home and get to bed so I could get up early and head down to Siegel for the 8 games on Wednesday. And a big thank you also to our other reporter, Taylor Luck, at TaylorRVASN on Twitter, as he was over at the Jaguar Jamboree for the final 2 nights. We took in round 1 on Monday. He took care of the championship semis on Tuesday and the consolation and championship games on Wednesday. And we appreciate him doing that as well. So what is coming up? Well, we told you, all these big tournaments on the way. They kick off down in the Tri-Cities at Prince George on Saturday. They're the first to get going with the Tri-Cities Holiday Classic. Tickets are $8 a day. There's no readmission. So, A, the ticket you use on Saturday is no good for Monday, and it's no good for Tuesday, etc. And B, once you're in the gym, you got to stay in the gym. So if you want to see the first game and you want to see the fourth game and you don't care about the second or third game, then you got two options. You can stay and watch them, or you can go home, come back, and pay $8 more. So just to tell you, that's the way it is. Because we asked the tournament directors, please send me your brackets, but also send me the information about tickets so that people understand what's going on. Petersburg will play in the first game Saturday at 3 against Waltzingham Academy. Matoaka will then hit the court against H.D. Woodson. Prince George, the host team, takes on Western Branch. And then interesting city battle coming up on the final game on Saturday night between Huguenot and Hopewell. So, you know, Metro Richmond city battle. Huguenot-Hopewell should be a very interesting game. And then the tournament continues on Monday with the championship semis at 6:30 and at 8:15. And the championship game will be Tuesday night, 8:15. And, of course, four games, all three. Of the days, 50th Benedictine Capital City Classic begins Sunday afternoon at Shepherd Street Gym. Ticket information is available at a link on our tournament central website at rvasportsnetwork.com. We updated it for this coming week's game. So if you look at the top of the page at rvasportsnetwork.com, you've got all the brackets for all of next week's tournaments. And you've got ticket information, or you have got links to ticket information for the tournaments. Mount St. Michael versus St. Maria Goretti at 3 on Sunday. McDonough versus Miller School next, then Calvert Hall McKinley Tech. And then Benedictine will take the court at 8:30 to take on Ferris in round one. So all out-of-town teams, with the exception of Benedictine, the host, as is normally the case. Occasionally there's a local team in there, but a lot of times this is the way that it is. And some top-notch basketball action. It's going to be one of the best tournaments in the area this year, as it is every year. That's why it's been around now for 50 years. And again, it starts on Sunday afternoon, and you can find ticket information at the link at rvasportsnetwork.com. We will be at the Henrico Holiday Hoops Tournament on Monday and Wednesday. Let's set you up. Ticket information available again at rvasportsnetwork.com. All four quarterfinals can be heard live Monday on our YouTube channel. And let me give you the rundown and the lineup for Monday. We will hit the air just before 2:30 p.m., and we will start with the Trinity Episcopal Saints taking on Garfield out of Woodbridge at 2:30. Be a very good matchup. And then at 4, we get the TDID champion, St. Christopher's, taking on C.D. Hilton, also from Northern Virginia. That's a 4 o'clock game. Then the host Henrico Warriors hit the court at 5:30 to take on Thomas Dale. And then we finish with Collegiate taking on Collierville of Tennessee High School near Memphis, who are making the trip all the way to Richmond for this tournament. And so we've got what we think is a fantastic quadruple header for you on Monday. Again, we hit the air at 2:30, and we will not stop until the quarterfinals are done. So if you can't make the tournament, you can hear it live exclusively on the RVA Sports Network Quarterfinal Monday at Henrico Holiday Hoops. Of course, they'll play the semis on Tuesday with the same times. And then on Wednesday, we will return to Henrico, and we will broadcast the third-place game at 5:30 and the championship game at 7:15. And so Henrico Holiday Hoops tournament coverage on RVA Sports Network, all four quarterfinals on Monday, and then we'll be back on Wednesday. Likely we will be there to live tweet the 7th and 5th place games, and then we will certainly be there to broadcast live on YouTube our 3rd place in our championship game. Henrico hasn't won this tournament in the last 2 years. They've won 2 state titles in the last 3 years, but they haven't won their own tournament in 3 years, as Potomac won it in 2013, and Colonial Forge won it in 2014, and both of them went on to win state championships that season. And that Colonial Forge win over Henrico in the championship game last year over at Glen Allen was Henrico's only loss in their championship season of a year ago. The Southerner Classic returns to Lee Davis after an absence. Tickets will be $5 and sold only at the door. We will be there live on Tuesday to broadcast all 4 semifinals. It is a 4-team girls and a 4-team boys double bracket. We'll start again just before 2:30 p.m. In Game 1, we'll have West Point Deep Run in girls action. Game 2, Colonial Heights and J.R. Tucker in boys semifinal play. Girls semifinal number 2 at 5:30. The host Confederates take on Caroline. And then the Lee Davis boys in the nightcap, I should say, will take on King William. And again, all four of those games will be broadcast live and exclusively on the RVA Sports Network on our YouTube channel. And you're like, well, we want to hear the championship game. And I know it can't be two places at one time. We'll be back at Henrico Wednesday night. But fear not, our Taylor Luck at Taylor RVASN on Twitter will be at the Southerner Classic Wednesday night. He will have live tweet coverage of both the girls' championship at 5:30 and the boys' championship at 7 p.m. We've been at L.C. Byrd Holiday Hoops the last two seasons, and we've had a marvelous time. Unfortunately, we can only get to so many tournaments when it comes to our live broadcasting. And the folks at Lee Davis approached us literally a year ago, last holiday break, and said, hey, we're thinking about reviving the Southerner Classic. Could you help us in that endeavor? And we have been helping them in the past year put that together, and we told them at the time that we would be more than happy to try to broadcast from there. And that is why this year, on the in-between day at Henrico Holiday Hoops, rather than being in Chester, we're going to be in Mechanicsville. But lots of great action at L.C. Byrd again this year. Here's the ticket information. Admission daily is $10. You can stay all day. 5 and under, you're in free. And again, it's a classic, not a tournament. There's no bracket. There's no championship games. The list of games are available, as all of them are, at rvasportsnetwork.com. Locally, the Glen Allen girls will play Deep Creek Monday at 11 a.m. and then Green Run Tuesday at 3 p.m. Highland Springs girls will play Green Run Monday at 2 p.m., and then they get Potomac Tuesday at noon. The L.C. Byrd girls get Potomac Monday night at 6:30 and Deep Creek Tuesday night at 7:30. The host boys of the Skyhawks will get Freedom Monday night at 8 and John Marshall Tuesday night at 9. That'll be a great finale at that tournament. John Marshall, L.C. Byrd on Tuesday night. John Marshall boys' other game is against Kings Fork on Monday at 5 p.m. Highland Springs boys get Stonewall Jackson Monday at 12:30, and then they get Freedom Tuesday at 1:30. And the Meadowbrook boys, they will be there on Tuesday. They will take on Middleburg Academy, and that's the first game of the day, and that is at 10:30 a.m. And the only game between two out-of-town teams that I see on the schedule will be a boys matchup between Stonewall Jackson and Kings Fork, and that takes place on Tuesday night at 6 prior to the Deep Creek L.C. Byrd girls game and then the John Marshall L.C. Byrd top 5 showdown. Clover Hill Holiday Hoops returns at 2, not a bracketed tournament. Admission is $5 daily. There are 4 games a day. On the girls' side, you'll see Meadowbrook, Amelia Academy, Clover Hill, Bluestone. On the boys' side, you'll see the host Clover Hill, Amelia Academy, Hanover will be there, and Greenbrier Christian Academy as well. That's Clover Hill Holiday Hoops Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. All the teams in the tournament in the Classic get to play 3 games in 3 days. Again, admission $5 each day. Admission also 5 a day for the Douglas Freeman Holiday Hoops Bash. Tuesday, it's run like the Southerner Classic. 2 girls semis, 2 boys semis. And then the third place in championship games on Wednesday. The host, Freeman Rebels, the boys, will play Patrick Henry at 5 p.m. The other boys' semifinal is Stafford Manchester at 1 o'clock. That's the first game on Tuesday. Girls' semis are Patrick Henry Manchester at 3, Collegiate and Douglas Freeman at 7. That girls' game between Patrick Henry and Manchester should be a fantastic game. Kayla Hugate and company versus Arne Taylor and company. I've seen both teams, 2 pretty even match teams. That could be a very, very good basketball game Tuesday afternoon. Tri-Cities Holiday Classic, we already told you about, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday. The girls tournament at Hanover, the Battle in the Birdcage on Tuesday and Wednesday. The 4 teams involved are Jamestown, Dinwiddie. They play the first semi at 6 Tuesday night. Goochland and host Hanover, they play the second one at 7:45. Losers will play at 6 o'clock Wednesday night. Winners for the championship Wednesday at 7:45 p.m. And all of this is available on our Holiday Hoops Tournament Central at rvasportsnetwork.com. If you look right now at our website, on the top of the page will be our podcast. And then after that, just below it, you'll see it in big letters, Holiday Hoops Tournament Central Week 2, with all the information and all the links to ticket information that you need for all the tournaments taking place this coming week. And then to the right of that, as always, our broadcast schedule that tells you about the 10 games that we'll have live on the RVA Sports Network next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And you can also look ahead to such showdowns as Monacan and Cosby girls basketball on Monday night, January 4th. Deep Run Henrico boys and girls doubleheader Wednesday, January 13th. LC Bird at Highland Springs boys on Monday night, January the 18th. Our coverage of the StatVA.com girls basketball classic on the 16th and more. It's all on our broadcast schedule at RVASportsNetwork.com. Lots of basketball coming up. Lots of basketball to talk about. And, of course, our new top 10 polls will come out on Sunday night, 8 p.m. on Twitter at TheRVASportsNet. That's at TheRVASportsNet. Now, when we come back with another podcast to wrap up 2015 next week, we'll do a brief review of some of the headlines from these basketball tournaments, Henrico Holiday Hoops, et cetera, et cetera. We will also look back at the year 2015 and what a year it has been in sports coverage and sporting events and news and whatnot here in the area. And we'll also take a look into our crystal ball for 2016 as to things to watch out for and some great storylines coming up in the year that is to come. And also take a little bit of time to talk about where we hope we are able to go with you here on the RVA Sports Network. Some of our goals and plans and whatnot for the year 2016 so that you can better utilize our services to get the information that you need. We've made some changes. We've expanded some things. We've contrasted some others, or contracted, I should say, others, always trying to put our resources in the best possible positions to give you the content that is most popular, the content that people want to know. And anytime you have feedback on our services, you have no problem whatsoever. If you follow us on Twitter, you send us a direct message, whether you follow us at Hanover Sports, at Henrico Sports, at Chesterfield Sports, or on the RVA Sportsnet. And there are a lot of people who are living in the counties that we cover specifically, and they follow that, and they also follow the RVA Sportsnet because they want to, you know, follow everything else that's going on in the area. And that's certainly fine, and we certainly appreciate that. We'll give you kind of a color-coded guide as to how to get the information from us, how to best, again, utilize our services and how we plan to try to serve you even better as we get set for the year 2016, which is just so unbelievably hard to believe. I don't even want to think about it because the drive for me to a certain age is coming up, not this year, but the year after that. And we'll deal with that issue down the road. From everybody here at the RVA Sports Network, from the owner, my wonderful wife, from myself, from my daughter and my son, and from Preston and Taylor, our reporters that joined us here back in August and have done such a wonderful job for us in football season and now in basketball season. And from everybody who make up the network, you know, what is the RVA Sports Network? Well, the word network means all of the coaches and players and students and managers and trainers and parents and PA announcers and others who are so faithful to tweet us updates and to send us final scores and to get us information, to the athletic directors at all of the schools. To the people that we work with in other sports outside of the realm of high school sports, the sports information people at U of R and at VCU, Phil Stanton up at Randolph-Macon. We do a lot of work with them, of course, with our connection with the Hanover Herald Progress newspaper. Just a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all of you who make up the network. And from all of us here inside, the home base, I guess, for HCS Media LLC, my wife, myself, my son, my daughter, from Preston and Taylor, our two main reporters, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever you may celebrate, whatever you may do, be very safe as you travel, enjoy your time with your family, and we look forward to being with you and seeing you and covering you if you're listening and you're a player coming up in the year 2016. Merry Christmas, everybody, and happy holidays from your friends here at the RVA Sports Network. And I got to hope, I just got to hope against hope that Santa Claus went to the wire store because I still haven't had a chance to get there. Central Region Now is an exclusive podcast presentation of the RVA Sports Network. It's only intended for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any rebroadcast or other use without asking my wife in writing is a no-no. Okay? All right. Legality's done. Got that out. I got to go wrap some presents. Oh, my goodness. Happy holidays, everybody. Please be safe. We'll have another podcast next week after the basketball, most likely during the day on New Year's Eve. And then we'll get back to our regular Sunday night schedule when we get into the new year. Talk to you soon and see you on the sidelines.